and welcome back to another episode of Love Women, the show where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their souls. I am your host, Monica Vigil. According to the Public Policy Institute of California, this state has the most immigrants in the country, with over 10 million foreign-born people residing in California. According to the PPIC, immigrants in this state are equally likely to work as those born in the United States. However, when averaged out, it is for a much lower pay. Picture this, the American dream. We've all heard of it, we all want it. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, owning your own home with a white picket fence surrounding it, green grass, better opportunities, working your way up the corporate ladder until you're the most powerful person in the room. Things like this can and do happen all the time in this country. There's always a possibility to work your way out of poverty and go from rags to riches. Sometimes it is easy to forget that this is not the case all around the world. Nicaragua is not one of those countries where you can educate your way out of the poverty you were born into. Our guest today, Carla Montoya, immigrated to the United States when she was 13 years old. Her mother was seeking a better life for her five children after a divorce. Carla began working when she was around 14 and it didn't stop until last July when she was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder at 43 years old. But she is still grateful to be in this country where even a sick person can have the opportunity to succeed. Hi, thank you for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
So, full disclaimer, everyone, Carla is my mom. And I brought her here today because I think her story symbolizes and is the story of a lot of immigrant mothers who come here. Also on the show today will be my sisters, Amanda and Carla Montoya. You guys can say hi. We will be talking to them a little later, but first we'll be talking to my mom. So I will be referring to her as mom out of habit. So, mom, so you came here when you were 13, which is Amanda's age right now. What was that like, being 13 and being told we're going to a different country where you don't know the language?
It was very sad to leave my family, my school, my classmate, and to come to a country that everything was new, not only the language, but the houses, the street, even the buses. So it was very hard.
How did she explain to you? Was it because you have four siblings? Did she bring all of you at the same time, or how did that happen?
No, we had to come one by one, and I was the third one to come. So my two older sisters were already here, and the two little ones stayed behind.
Why? And I think that's the case on a lot of when people immigrate and they bring their children, it's like one by one, or why is that?
It has to do with the money that it costs for you to get to this country, and my mom will come, will work, save money, bring one, then come back and save more money. So every year, one by one, we got here.
What was the experience, like what the actual immigrating, crossing the border, what was that like? Like, can you talk us through how that worked?
I remember getting, you know, to Guatemala by flight, and then we crossed Mexico in buses, and then we got all the way to Tijuana. And back then, like 30 years ago, it was easier. So we just crossed the border in Tijuana. And as a kid, I don't think you realize the danger or what's going on. So I just remember a guy, which I didn't know at that time who he was. It was just the person that was going to cross me. He just say, you know, stay with me and do everything I say. So, and that's what I did. And then the other side, my mom was waiting for me.
And so then now you're in this country and you're just living in a new country. What was that?
It was very, very difficult. I remember something that I will never forget is we had to get the bus to get to the city we were living. And my mom just get out of the bus and forget that I didn't know I had to push the door to open the door. And I tried to get out and the door closed, and I start panicking. And then I don't even know. I think somebody saw my panic face and they just opened the door for me. So something as simple as not being able to open the door of the bus. So it was very hard from the beginning.
And so you said your sisters were already here. Did you all live together when you first came?
No, they had to be in another state in order for my mom to be able to be going back to Nicaragua and working. So they were under the care of my aunt.
And this was in New York?
Yes.
Okay. And so you're here. I mean, now you're going to a new school, right? So you're 13, you're in middle school at this point?
Yes, I came to, they put me in ninth grade. And from the beginning, a lot of people think that you come to this country and you're happy because it's the land of opportunity. When you're a kid, you have no say, you have no choice. So you don't want to be here. You don't want new friends. You don't want a new language. You don't want this opportunity that people talk. You just want to go back home. You just want to meet your family again. So I remember going to school and crying the first day. My mom has to go inside with me to the classroom and sit with me in homeroom. And then after that, I learned English. I mastered like to be able to write and read. But I think consciously, unconsciously, I decided not to speak English. I was really good at writing. I learned all the rules, the essay parts, and the teacher were amazing that I knew all that, but I refused to speak English, and that's part of, I think, of not me giving in. As a kid, I think that was kind of my power, holding in my, identity, who I didn't want to be here.
Yeah, and that, that makes me think of a lot of people in this country. We'll see a lot of videos on the internet now of people catching these events where people are saying things like, this is America, speak English. If you want to speak Spanish, go back to where you came from, blah, blah, blah. What is your reaction to that when people, a lot of, I don't say a lot, but there are many Americans who feel that if you're in this country, you need to A, learn the language, B, speak the language, C, lose your accent.
I think you had to learn the language to be able to understand and learn the culture, but you don't have to lose your own language or your accent. For example, I knew I had an accent since middle school, and I decided that's okay. People will correct me, and it wasn't that I was purposely mispronouncing, but I realized, but this is who I'm gonna be, and that's gonna make me different. And at the beginning, I might have think, I was ashamed, especially when you're working and people make sure to make you feel that you don't pronounce the word right. But after that, I said, well, everybody has an accent. It's just mine is from Spanish, from Nicaragua, and other people have it from other country. So even people from here, from different state, they have an accent. It depends where they go. So I think that makes you unique in a way.
I think another issue that some people have with immigrants and having people come to this country legally or illegally, people always say, actually, we'll come back to that. Let's, while we're here on the illegally part. So you came here illegally. You just crossed the border.
Yes.
And you recently became a citizen.
Yes.
About, 2, 3 years ago?
2015, 3.
What sort of thoughts or things did you feel about yourself or about how others looked at you or any fears you had about knowing you were here in this country, quote unquote, illegally? Because there are some people who would say people can't be illegal. You know what I mean?
Well, I think living in this country for this long, I realize a lot of the people that don't understand how the immigration process works is not that easy just to go and become legal. Another part is that once they bring you as a child, you have no say, no choice, and then you become your life as an adult. And even if I wanted to go back, I couldn't because I was already married with kids, and my kids belong to this country now. They are born here. They learn this culture. So it's not that easy to be legal, and sometimes the circumstances are harder depending what country you are from. So it's not as easy as people think to become legal.
How long did it take for you?
On and off, because like I say, it's a more complicated process. I was on and off legal, and I became legal until 2001, from 1998 when I got here. And then I became citizen until 2015. So it takes years, and I was lucky that I was from one of those countries that they allow amnesty due to the circumstances that people are living in the country.
And so you came here and you, back to what I was saying before. So you come and then you are working as soon as you come here, because you guys are coming from a poor country. Nicaragua is a poverty-stricken country. And so you're coming to be, once again, poor in this country, but knowing that you can, you know, you can rise above. And so what jobs did you have when you first came? You started working, you were 14, 15?
Yes, I will work cleaning houses, because, you know, usually they pay you cash and anybody can do it. Doesn't matter the age. I will work using somebody else's documents, like an older relative. I did different, like, flower shop. I work at Taco Bell. I mean, work anything that was possible, you know, for me to do.
And so what do you think about people who say illegal immigrants are coming in and stealing their jobs?
I don't think we're stealing the jobs, because most of the jobs that the Latinos perform are the ones that other races don't want to do. And it's not degrading or anything. It's just that it's a lot of physical labor, cleaning houses, construction, restaurant, cooking, washing dishes, picking up vegetables, fruits, and, you know, it's very hard. And unfortunately, our community, like we said before, sometimes they don't learn the language, so they're stuck in those jobs, and it's hard for them to move up. So I don't think they're here to get the American dream away from anybody.
And so it's interesting you talk about, you know, you came here, you know, were made to feel, or people try to make you feel lesser than by being like, you know, this is how you pronounce things and so, and you have jobs that you had to do with other people's paperwork, like cleaning and just like laborious jobs. And then there are times at home when we're at home together and something, we'll be watching the news and something bad will happen. Like, say another police officer kills like an unarmed person, and me and my siblings, you know, your kids who were born here, will say things like, God, I hate this country, or like, F this country. There's so many things wrong with this country. And it's just this really like anger and just negative feelings toward this country and systematic racism and things it has. And, you know, this is our opinion as people who are born here. And then you, someone who came here, who has experienced discrimination and racial prejudice, and a lot of your kids, or some of us, are white passing, and so we don't experience that. You defend the country and you say, no, this country is great. You shouldn't say these things about this country and blah, blah, blah. So you can talk about that, that you, even after experiencing things that, you know, the negative parts of this country, you are one of the first to defend it.
It's because I think even though the country with their problem, like the racism and the violence that is going on, is still a better country than most of the Latin American when it comes to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the economic part. In this country, it doesn't matter if you were born poor or rich, you can make a better of yourself. So what you guys don't see is the lack of opportunity in other countries. You were born here, so you cannot see what's going on in Nicaragua and any other country. So for you, what is bad here is just really bad. But for me, I'm able to compare how my relatives live in other country to compare to how we live here. And you realize how grateful you are to be in a country that even though it had its problem, is full of opportunities.
So let's talk about Nicaragua. So if you know, you lived in Nicaragua, and you're saying that, you know, that country is different in terms of opportunities. So let's say we were born in Nicaragua and we're born in poverty. What are the odds you can educate your way out and become rich or become successful or become comfortable financially?
Sadly, a lot of the Latin American countries, yes, you can get an education. It's hard. It's not here. It's not like in this country that if you don't have the way to pay for university, you can get loans if you don't qualify for financial aid. But you can still get an education. However, if you are born poor, you're going to die poor most likely because the opportunities are very limited. And the rich people will get rich and the poor people will stay poor. So you don't, where here you can be born any state, any social class, but you will have an opportunity. In my country, unfortunately, if you weren't born poor, you will be, you will die poor.
And so on this show, we talk about womanhood and, you know, your work and your soul and stuff like that. So do you think there was any difference or there's any sort of distinction between being a woman immigrant and the way you were treated, the way you experienced immigration versus a man?
I think so, because I think men, that they work hard. They do a lot of hard labor. But for women, and I was looking at the news yesterday, they found some women that they were trying to cross the border. And the point is that here, immigrant women not only will face the hardworking part, but the abuse, the harassment. And most of the time, they will stay quiet and they will take it for the need of feeding their family, paying the bills. And it is accepted. Because you're immigrant, maybe you don't have document, they're gonna call, you know, immigration on you. So you kind of put up with a lot of abuse.
That's interesting. Do you think there's any way to, I mean, improve that? Or is that just something that women, unfortunately, are going to have to endure as long as they do?
No, I do believe we're getting better. I don't think it's going to end within the next decade. But I think we have come a long way from when I was working as a kid. And I do believe that with every generation, we'll get better, because I think a lot of the problem that we have around the country is a lack of knowledge from the other part. So that's where all the misunderstanding come. But I think every generation is getting better educated and is getting more knowledge. And now with the technology, you can have all this information that back when I was in high school, you had to read a book to get one answer.
And so we also talk about the soul on this show. So I know that faith has been a big part of getting through hard times for you. And so can you talk about your faith and what you feel helps you?
As a mother, having kids, the kids, they give you the strength that you need to be able to go through life regardless of what you're going. And as a woman, immigrant, I learned that quitting, it was never an option. And I always believe, you know, that there is a purpose in life. And I will not even begin to think that I know the answer, like why we're here. But I always believe things happen for a reason. I have a bigger faith that I can describe. I believe that things happen for a reason, and I accept when I have no control over things, and when I'm able to change something, then I work toward that.
From where you were when you were 13, which is now 30 years ago, so where from where you were 30 years ago to now, did you see your life taking this path? Which is, you know, having kids. You've had 5 kids. So having kids, taking care of them, working all your life, getting sick, having to stop working.
I didn't see myself where I am right now, not working, being sick, and still raising my kid. But I think I am better than when I started, when I got to this country. My kids are being able to finish their school, which is a big step here, because here in this country, education does matter and it opens opportunity for everybody.
And so let's very briefly talk about what's happening in Nicaragua right now, because I think it's getting more press coverage now. I think in the very beginning it wasn't, but even then I don't see it on the news very often. So can you briefly describe what's happening in Nicaragua? Because we have family who still live there and is still communicating with you about the situation.
To make it brief, I think what happened is the country is getting tired of being oppressed, not having freedom of the speech, of any freedom at all. And I think they found this opportunity to get the courage to stand up. And the opportunity was when they were trying to change the way their social security works, to make it brief. And I think that was like what they needed to start fighting for their rights. And now they're trying to get the government to give them their rights that they need there as a country. And it has been, unfortunately, a lot of death unnecessary, especially from the university, the students that they were marching and protesting. They are the ones that are getting killed. But I'm hoping that it will not be in vain and better things will happen to Nicaragua.
Okay, so let's get away from all the serious, more negative thing. Let's take a shift into a more positive sphere. So, Mom, what do you love most about being a woman?
Being able to dye my hair a different color.
You can dye your hair a different color than a man.
No, but back, I'm 40-something. Talking like 30 years I started dyeing my hair, like, you know.
Okay. What do you love most about being a mom?
The unconditional love that you feel from your kids.
What do you love most about being Latina?
Bailar salsa.
Okay. And then I'm going to get my sisters in on this. So first we'll talk to Carlita because she's next to me. So Carlita, how old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11, so you're in what grade?
Fifth grade.
Okay. So Carlita, you are an 11-year-old who's always lived here in this country. Have you always felt that you could do anything, even as a girl?
I feel like even the simplest things, like, you know, at school, you still feel like being a girl is, like you're put on a different, like, scale from the boys or the men.
Do you feel that people expect less from you because you're a girl? Or they think you can do less things because you're a girl?
Yes.
So can you give me an example of when you felt like, oh, I'm being treated differently because I'm a girl?
It's just the simplest thing is, like, not being, like, not getting picked on a team because I'm a girl. You know? It's, yeah. Like, or, like, you know, stuff, yeah, like that.
I see that. And then Amanda. Hi, how old are you?
I'm 13.
So you're 13. What grade are you in?
Seventh.
So you're a girl in this country, which is supposed to be a very progressive, very advanced country. Do you feel like, have you always felt you could do anything as a girl?
Yeah, I'm...
Nice.
Yeah, I've always felt like, because I've never, like, put myself on, like, I'm a girl, I guess you could say. Like, I've never been like, oh, because I'm a girl, I can't play football with my brother, or... because I'm a girl, I can't play basketball with my brother.
And you've always been very athletic and sporty. How do you feel when people say that you're a tomboy or say that that kind of behavior is tomboyish?
I don't like that phrase very much because I am, like, I guess you can say I'm, like, athletic. I play with my older brother. But then there are some things that are considered girly that I like to do. So it's like tomboy isn't a term that I like being used to describe me or really kind of just anybody else.
I understand that. So, for everybody, so we'll start with Mom. Mom, what are you proudest of?
Oh my.
Got you.
I had to be careful because I have 5 kids.
Which one of us do you love the most? Just kidding. What are you proudest of?
I think of being able to go to school while I was working and being a full-time mom. Mm.
Yeah, you tell us about when you you graduated from high school and then you went to go hold your newborn. Or not newborn, I don't know how old.
8 months.
8 months, kid, yeah. Amanda, what do you love most about being a girl?
So I guess like going back to the part where like people expect less from you, mm-hmm. I like being able to show up and then people expect less of me, but then I surprise them because I am a girl and I can't do specific things. I like to surprise them by showing not only can I do this, but all girls can do this.
But I did it better than you.
Yeah, like that.
Carlita, what do you love about being Latina? Half Nicaraguense, half Guatemalan. Half from Guatemala.
I love getting stuff that other people don't like understand, especially from like our country. Like some stuff, like some countries have, you know, a type of food that other countries don't have. Like I love getting, understanding what like, people talk about that, and like
understanding references.
Understanding references and. Like, talking in a different way, you know? Because, like, you know,
yeah.
My country has, one of the countries has, like, is it considered a language?
It's like
a kid's language. Like, como puede
estar pues.
I don't know, it's like pig Latin-ish sort of thing in Spanish. So, as the show winds down, I'm going to ask you some quick questions. You're going to finish the sentence.
Okay.
No thinking. I love...
to eat.
The world needs more...
love.
One thing I need to improve on is...
exercise.
I am afraid of...
nothing anymore. I was afraid of the dark before.
Wow. I am so excited about...
going to Nicaragua with the three of you.
My advice to young girls is?
Live to the fullest, but always take care of yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you to the three of you for being on my show. I had a lot of fun. And to the listeners at home, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Love Women, the show where we interview passionate, accomplished women of color about their work and their souls. Join me next week, where I'll be interviewing a woman who took her compassion for animals and turned it into a cruelty-free business. Until next time, I am Monica Vigil, and you're listening to KPCRadio.com.